Day that if I'd done my job correctly as director, that my job was done, and for the next 5 days I'm going to float. I was wrong. Our day started about 5 in the morning, and most days ended up about 1:30 in the morning. So if you compute that one, that comes up to about 3.5 to 4 hours of sleep a night. By Friday, we were in La La Land, but it was well worth it. I don't know how you can bring to you the flavor of an experience such as this. I've tried to think about all sorts of different ways that I could bring it to you, and I've failed. I just can't. It's kind of like a pastor's conference. It's kind of like all the preparation and then zoom, it's gone. It's kind of like a pastor's conference in that campers are every bit as weird as pastors. Just not quite as mature. And so I thought maybe the best way is to share with you the people who were there, and they'll obviously think of things that I won't, and I'll fill in the details. Yesterday when I mentioned to pastor that we wanted to do something, he said, "Sure, take as much time as you want." And I assured him at that point in time that it would not take the whole hour, which was probably a mistake. But I, at the same time, I asked him if he would, please. I said, probably right now it's an excellent time for us to do some discussion on invisible heroes. And he, with all his wisdom, and also decided to do something about visible heroes. And I was just reading over some of his notes, and guys, get ready. The club's about to fall, which is probably going to be very good for us. We need to keep our perspective as we look back on this camp. So I've asked some people who were involved with this to come up. I'm going to have to ask you to take 30 seconds or less, and he'll have his timer on. But we wanted to give you just a little bit of the flavor, and Kim said that if I didn't start with her, that she would shoot me. And I can't have that, because all week long, everybody just could not believe the quality of the food. And I believe it's true that our army does run on its belly. And I think we have the best. And Kim, why don't you come up and tell us about it? Tell us about feeding 70 instead of 7 kids.
Third time in 2 days I've had to do this. I don't like it. When we started out, Bob told me there'd be perks to being staff, but this is not what I thought he meant. Actually, it feels like your heart is right here, but you can tell it's right here. It's coming like this. First of all, I'd like to thank Pam and Shirley and my husband for doing my job for me while I was at camp. I brought back a souvenir, in case you thought there was any glamour in the kitchen. You're right, there is. What I looked like on Friday morning. Four of us running around like that. It's pretty fun. If any of you have ever done any semi-major kitchen duty, you know that most things that make a cook happy seem pretty silly to most other people. Like chopping 25 pounds of onions without shedding a tear. Like having Gary Horton thank you from the pulpit for putting bacon on his cheeseburger. Hearing rumors that a mob of anonymous male staffers raided the kitchen after midnight. Feeding 15 extra people and having food left over. Having kids come up to you and ask, what's for lunch, what's for dinner, and when do we have leftovers? And seeing 60 people line up in front of you for lunch, have them all seated and eating in 6.5 minutes. Finally, having the camp director run, not walk, to the Girl Scout camp to borrow flour when our sausage gravy was in jeopardy. I had three goals for my first camp experience. First of all, I wanted the kids to be as healthy as possible so they could learn and play as best they could. I wanted to save Bob as much money as possible. And with all the Grace donations from Westside and Tucson, we did that. Thirdly, I went hoping I would have time to go to Bible class. With the team that I had, God made it possible for all of us to go to chapel twice a day. We heard every guest speaker. We participated in the Wacky Olympics every evening, and we made some really great friends. In conclusion, I'd like to thank Rhonda for her hard work and for bringing some humor to our task. I'd like to thank Bob for allowing me to work. And in case any of you are wondering which adults and which kids went to camp, just look around for those of us who are smiling and singing for no apparent reason. It was really great. Thank you.
If you really want to know what's happening at camp, ask the young people. They'll tell you. And we had this year for orientation, we decided to have junior staff. I remember way back when I was 15, 16 year old, becoming a junior staff member. The perks were few. The labor was hard, and I learned how to be a leader. So we decided to give that a whirl this year. We had some junior staff. They performed like troopers. They were terrific, and I've asked Phil and John to come up and give us their 30 seconds, if you would, gentlemen.
I think we all know I'm not going to speak for just 30 seconds. I have to admit, when I thought about this on the drive down, which I did mostly, I was just sitting there going, well, what am I supposed to do? I really had no idea what's going to be there for me. I thought, you know, hey, I'm going to be taking care of these kids. You know, you got to run here and run there, do this, do that for everybody else so that the counselors will have, and the director and the kids will have that weight taken off of them. So I didn't think I was going to learn too much. You know, I just thought I'd be there doing all the grunt work. But it's amazing how much you really learn when you're doing something like that. You see things differently than when you're a camper or when you're in charge. It's really neat, and it was a real honor to be able to work with people like Bob and Mr. Hanson, Mr. Brightwell, and the experience is something that you just have to be there. You can't say anything about it. You can't just go, it was a great time. I mean, that doesn't do it. You just have to go. And if you didn't go, I think in my mind now that you don't just, you cheat yourself. And you don't just cheat yourself, you cheat the kids too. And me being close to being a kid, I understand. You know, I'm still pretty young. I know what kids need. And to see them smile when you just say, hey, you know, pick yourself up off the ground, you know, you're all right. It's just like, it makes you feel good. And that type of feeling just can't be said. But I really think that next year when this all happens, we need to have everybody involved, because it will, you definitely do benefit from it. And that's really all I have to say. Thanks.
It's my turn now. Mr. Childress said before we go up there that we were going to have one of the most difficult jobs because we were going to be part camper, part staff. And there were times throughout the week where I had three things to do at the same time, and that proved to be rather difficult. But everything got done. It took a lot of work. Everything was uphill. There was no flat surface in this camp. By the end of the week, you really got used to being at the camp. I really miss it, just being back 2 days. I knew camp was going to go great from the first night when they served lasagna. And I just had no idea how great the camp was going to be. There's just no words for it. When it comes right down to it, you have to experience it. You'll probably hear that several times. Yeah. It was a lot of fun, very edifying. Thank you.
We need to hear from the hands-on people. The hands-on people are the counseling staff. Counseling staff are the very base of a camp. I appreciate what they do because they sleep with the kids. And that in itself is far enough. Bonnie, Sherry, and Rich, come up, on up, please, and take just a couple seconds and tell what you did and why it worked. Come on up, guys.
I'm seeing how difficult 30 seconds is for everybody. I'm going to try to make this real fast. I was a counselor for four girls, and I had three 16-year-olds and one 17-year-old. They're at a very interesting point in their lives. And I was very grateful for PT more than he can ever imagine, because as we sit here every night in Bible class and take in doctrine, we think about it for ourselves, and we think about applying it in our own lives. But when you're in a counselor situation, if you don't have the doctrine to give to them, then you're not helping them. And I had one young girl that is in a lot of trouble, and she's having a lot of problems. And I was so grateful to have that doctrine, the years and years of doctrine behind me, to be able to look at her situation and help her and give her words of encouragement and wisdom that I wouldn't have had. And so you don't think about that when you're sitting here taking in doctrine, because you do apply it in your own life. But these kids need us to know the doctrine for them too. So that was real important. And I also, once again, it was brought to my mind how important it is to have ministries in our church. And I felt that way all along. I've had a burden for kids for many, many years. And once again, I see how important these kinds of ministries that we're doing here at Westside are very important, and we have to keep going and get as many people as possible involved in this. Another thing I want to say real fast, I'm talking real fast because I can talk real fast and get a lot of things in, and you can hear me, maybe you can understand me, but I can talk real fast and get a lot of things. This is how my mom and I talk all the time whenever we see each other, because that's what you think. Okay, anyway, we all pitched in, everybody pitched in to help everybody else out. And there were times we might have needed someone to help here or help there, and Kim helped me in crafts one time, that she was just a blessing to me. And that's what was the greatest thing, that everyone in camp, all the staff, pitched in. And they didn't care. It wasn't any of this, well, that's not my job. None of that. It was all, sure, what do you need? Just let me help out. And I really appreciate that. Do you want me to talk about the things I did? Sure. Okay. Yes. I helped Pat Hill with the talent show, and it was still fun to work with Pat again. She's, those of you that know her, she's a lot of fun. And the neat thing was Westside School had enough students there to do two songs from our open house. And they shone. They just did a beautiful job, and I was so proud of them. And then we also did crafts, and you see our first craft up here on the podium, whatever, this stage wall. Wall! This wooden structure back there. I won't go into the other crafts, but the last craft we did the last day, that I wanted them all to take a piece of camp home with them, so every time they looked at it, they might be reminded of camp. So they went out in the woods and gathered pine cones and bark and rocks and all kinds of interesting things they brought in. No live animals, we told them, and nor dead ones, neither one. And so they made these beautiful, beautiful centerpieces they could take home, and it was a great idea. We had a lot of fun, and there's a lot of things that I would like to talk with you guys one-on-one since we're out of time. I will turn it over to one of you.
All right, I had two jobs. I was a counselor, like Sherry, and also an activity leader, in which we had to participate in everything the kids did. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was great. I had a few problems with the limbo and a couple of the wacky things, but some of the games got a little rough. Ended up with a few battle scars, but it was a lot of fun, and the guys, all the kids participated. You know, it wasn't any of this, I don't want to do this. You know, everybody just got together, and what really ended up helping me out, the junior staffers were great. You know, I had, in my activity team, I had Mark Lopez, and he's not here tonight, but he was just great. His attitude just, you know, really helped a lot, and he helped me push him. And then Rich joined our team toward the end of the week, and he helped me a lot. But it's like they all said, it's indescribable. You've got to be there. And what really impressed me was Gary Horton. That guy, you say he's got a gift. That gift, and it's amazing, because he can say the same things they say, but he can rip them up one side and down the other. I mean, he can just beat them to death, and they love it. they take it and they learn from it. So that was really exciting to see that, and to see their responses. But we kept trying to impress on them that they'd have to go down the mountain. And that was the beginning of the battle. So it was really, I mean, it was great. And it was really great to meet the Tucson people. I met, you know, made some new friends from Tucson. And it wasn't, this is my church and that's your church. It was everybody, you know, we all got together. And it was just a lot of fun. You got to be there.
Well, I can analyze this for you, and I will explain. It's going to take about 5 minutes. I was also a counselor, and I had four teenagers. JT was one of the ones in the group, and I'd like to tell you a story about him. He was identified as an unbeliever, and he had basically no religious background, and spent a lot of time with his mom. His mom's handicapped, and they said he was kind of shy. John Hentz asked us on Tuesday morning to identify the spiritual status of our four people that we had under us. And on Tuesday, I spent like 3 or 4 times with him for like 5 or 10 minutes, you know, in between the tight schedule that Mr. Childress had for us. And I won't say too much about that, but it was tight. But I witnessed to him early in the morning at devotions, and you know, how you start thinking of all the different doctrines and you cover everything, you know, and it's just way too fast for him, you know. But he did get one thing out of it. He knew that even his good works, you know, the things he does for his mom, the volunteer work he does, doesn't matter to God. And he got that out of it. And we talked later, and I find out he doesn't know what the word righteousness means, you know, things like this. Who is God? So I just kept backing up, and I remember that the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So I started with that. And, you know, every time I got a chance, I'd speak to him. And just for a few minutes, because that's all we had, you know, I didn't want to take him from the activities or think that, you know, I was like, get over here, you know, you can't do that. You have to listen to me. But we were becoming friends, and I found him to be bright and not an easy one to witness to, because, you know, he could think things out and say, hey, you know, I don't buy this. You know, what am I supposed to do? Just believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins? What does that mean? And I went to bed, and I hadn't asked him any key questions. I hadn't asked him the key question to find out, you know, exactly where he stood. I was, you know, pretty sure he was not a believer yet. And I laid there and remembered that, you know, I got to make sure to let him know why I'm doing this. You know, that I care about him and so on. And anyways, the next day I'm supposed to go to devotions at 7:15, and I still hadn't gotten an answer from him. I said, you know, it was about 6:30 and we were both ready to go. And I asked him to go for a walk with me for about 10 minutes. And I just tried to make it as simple as I could, and you know, I think he finally got it, and I said, you know, doesn't that seem kind of like a simple plan? He says, no, it seems kind of complicated. So I slowed down a little bit, explained some more things, and asked him, you know, if you had to face God right now, do you think he'd let you into heaven? He says, well, you know, I've done a lot of good things, but you guys said yesterday that doesn't cut it, so... So he got that, and it just as I walked down there with him, I just felt there was no decision, really. There was just no decision made, yet he was still thinking about it, and he really wanted to understand it completely before he could really accept it, because he's, you know, like I said, he was kind of bright. And anyways, there's a long story about what I talked to him about, but we just talked for like 15, 20 minutes, and as we were heading back, I just decided to ask him one more question since we had it pretty well squared away. I was happy that he understood who Christ was and why we needed him and so on. And I just said, you know, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? And he stopped for a second and said, yes. I said, that's it, you know, shake my hand, you know, you're in. You're part of the family. That's all that God wants. And we continued to walk up, and he thought, you know, well, do I have to do anything else, or, you know, does he know? I said, you know, remember we talked, he knows your thoughts, and, you know, if you want, you can, we can pray together, or you can pray yourself later, or, but really, it's just a decision. It's just a change of decision. And I can tell you some more about it, but I'll just say that I'm privileged to be a part of the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the only one that, you know, really does these things and gives us the thoughts to do this. But I saw him go from no decision to a decision, you know, in just a few minutes, from death to life, and it was nice to be there when it happened.
Thank you.
Compliments you can have is when you have a person who's Mr. Camper himself and Brian Elmore walking around taking notes because your activities are so good. And saying, I'm taking these back to Jody. He's a fool if he doesn't use these. And in charge of activities, we have Ben Wick. And Ben, take a few moments for us, will you please?
Bob finally taught me this week to write things down. Also, if I talked about everything that I would want to talk about, like Bob and I stayed up just about all night Thursday night talking, I didn't think you guys wanted to stay here all night. So I wrote things down to kind of limit what I had to say. So hopefully I'll stick to that. But I was just wondering, John, why did that kid fall down you were picking up? But if you notice that there were only three counselors up here, from our church, and that's one thing that kind of impressed me coming down is, hey, you know, if we're gonna get 70 kids up there, we're gonna need some more counselors next year. So that might be something you guys might want to be thinking about. But I have had the chance of being at lots of different camps because I'm kind of I guess one of those people that grew up in churches, and I've gone to several different kinds: child evangelism, truth for youth, Baptist camps, Bible camps, all kinds. And the one thing that impressed upon me and that Bob and I talked about when we were preparing for this is that at camps there's lots of fun, lots of games, and lots of challenges, but no tools to work with when you got away from the camp. And I was so glad what Pastor said this morning about that these camps would prepare the kids and get them ready to jump out of the plane. And in some instances, they'd kick them out of the plane, but they always forgot to put the parachute on the guys. And so what we wanted to do was make sure that these kids had the tools and had the parachute when they jumped out of the plane. And we set a goal for our camp to not only have fun and games and challenge, but we also had as our goal to prepare to provide these parachutes and tools for them. And the opportunity was given for choices to be made by these campers to see if they were winners or losers. And as Pastor John Hint said, winners are wieners, as only he can say. And what we did is we had teams to participate in the activities and competition to earn points in our activities and KP and memorizing verses. And we did this to allow the kids to participate in an activity and to put a little pressure on them to see how they'd respond and see if they were listening to what we were teaching them. And what we did, the first thing we did, like Sherry said, we had to make these banners, and each banner represents a particular team or squad or group. They put their name on it, and then at the end of the week, Bonnie told me not to say so okay. The teams received awards for the first, second, third, fourth place. Each team got, this team was first, okay, that team was second, this team was third, and this team was fourth. And at the end of the camp, we decided to, what are we going to do with these banners? The Tucson people wanted to take them to Tucson. We wanted to take them to West Side. And some of the other people wanted to take them back. I know Bridget wanted to take hers back to Houston. But we decided that the best thing to do, since at the end of the camp, as some of the other people have mentioned, most of the kids participated and everybody seemed like they were becoming winners. And so we thought a good example would be, we decided to present the banners to Gary Horton, to Ranger Horton, as appreciation for him coming and to show that they were all winners. And I didn't think of it at the time, but I think it impressed on his mind is that these were the guidons for each squad, and we were presenting our guidons to him, and it was neat to see Ranger Horton speechless for once in his life, probably. It was an interesting experience. So we presented those to him on the last day of the youth camp, and then he felt that it was appropriate to present the West Side Bible Church and Pastor Miller for spearheading the inaugural Arizona youth camp. So that's why we got them. So we ended up with them anyways. And Pastor Hentz also said, as a camp goal, as Rich said and the counselor said, is for the counselors to approach each of the campers that they had and to determine their status with the Lord. And during one of our games, one particular camper got a little temperamental, and that's what we wanted them to do this in these activities, put a little pressure on them. So he got in an argument with one of the counselors, and we had a little thing, they had to give him a warning. He got his warning, but what that did is, I wasn't really a counselor in charge of any particular camper, but what it did is it allowed me as activity leader to approach this guy and to, you know, ask him about this little situation that went on. And being a coach, I've experienced that situation several times when an athlete is gotten in an argument with the referee or something, and to try to teach him what to do in that situation. And I established kind of a little relationship with the young man. His name was Joshua. And he was one individual that we knew was an unbeliever when we came into the camp. And so that night he was in my cabin where I had to sleep with the kids too. And he asked me a few questions that led me to believe that he was really positive, and he was expressing positive volition, but it was late at that time and we didn't have a chance to talk with him. But the next day I made a point in searching him out when we had an opportunity to break. And I wasn't fortunate like Rich. It didn't take me 10 or 15 minutes, but I had talked to him for about 2 hours. And he asked me quite a few questions, and his problem was that he felt that that was too simple, that there had to be something he had to do. He had a Catholic background, and he had a list that the Catholic Church said that you had to do to be a believer. But he knew that that was wrong, especially after the teaching he had. But he thought that there was something else he needed to do and in order to become a Christian. And he thought that salvation, plus being a good person, and we talked about how and why salvation had to be simple, and how Satan used man's own intellect to try to add to the plan and to confuse the real issue. So he brought up a lot of things to try and confuse the issue. And we dealt with that, and I just had him read John 3. I was kind of... I thought we'd reached the point where I could have him make a decision, and but he wasn't ready, and so I had him read John 3, and how I said, remember, when you were born physically, you didn't have anything to say about that. There was nothing you could have done about that. It's the same spiritually. You just join the family, you get born. And so he said that was fine. And then he said, he seemed to understand that. And then he said, well, he kind of changed the subject on me. And he said how he could see the value of all the principles and stuff being taught there at the camp. And that he saw that this would really help him in his life. And I says, well, Joshua, the one thing you're forgetting is that you haven't joined a team yet. So no matter how many principles you sit and listen to, it's not going to do you any good. And we were sitting outside the dining hall, and I said, you look in the window, and you're just standing out here looking in the window, and you can't participate. You can hear and listen and say it's great, but you can't participate until you open the door and go in. And he said... He said that, oh, is that kind of like when you're watching the film, like the football teams are watching the film, and they're seeing how things are supposed to be done and how to practice, but if you never get out on the practice field, you can't ever play in the game. I said, that's exactly right. And then I asked him if he wanted to join the team and turn the projector off and get on the field. And he said yes. And so we prayed about it, and he accepted the Lord. And it was, like Rich said, it was kind of, I've never really experienced that one-on-one with somebody. As long as I've been a believer, I've had the opportunity to talk to people, but I've never had them see them, that change in their face. I mean, you can just almost see their facial muscles. If they're a little tense, you can almost see their facial muscles just relax. And it's just like, whoa. And I said, you feel relieved? And he said, yeah, I feel real relieved. Then he started asking thousands of questions. And he's going to be at the school, and I told Bob and Rich that they better be prepared, because he's going to hammer them. So that was a good experience for me. And like Rich was saying, that we were just the vessel of honor that God chose at that particular time to have a hand in JT and Joshua becoming a believer this week. So whether you gave us one can of beans or whatever that allowed Rich and I just to have enough strength to, you know, get the words out, or if you were praying Wednesday night, I think this was Thursday, I talked to Josh, so, you know, if you brought that up for prayer, and I'm sure that gave me a lot of strength, because I know there are a couple times there where I was just blank. I didn't know what to say, and that was one of those times I just said, hey, read this, or no, I know. And then another time I'm going, you know, I really don't know what to say. Why don't you just keep talking? And so he kept talking, so that was good. But it's amazing how the Lord works, because several times people came up to talk to him or talk to me, and the Holy Spirit really just kind of just pushed him out of the way. It was incredible. One guy came up, and he wanted, hey, Joshua, you want to go do this? And then we just looked at him, and the guy just said, oh. And he turned around and walked away, just like that. I mean, we didn't even say anything. And it was great. But so not only did you have a hand in Joshua and JT's salvation, but in everything that was accomplished in camp, those of you who were down here praying and bringing things up and contributing, and like Peachy's going to talk about, that you were the invisible heroes for us up there, and that their salvation is due to everyone that got involved. And we all have these choices to make that the kids were choosing, and we could choose to contribute, and if you didn't choose to contribute, you know, like some of them are saying, I feel sorry that you didn't contribute, you didn't pray, you missed out on a tremendous blessing. And I have another paragraph, I think PT's going to talk about that later, so I think I said enough. But if we're going to continue with this camping experience, we're going to need a lot more help next year, because all these kids said, we're coming back next year and we're bringing a friend or two. That means we're going to need that much more people involved. Thanks.
I had a whole week to work on my Gary Horton imitation.
Thank you, man. Go through the foxholes.
Nice. No, I won't do that to you. the mark of a camp that's really successful is how much attention Satan takes of it. And boy, did he take some attention. I don't think Horton's ever lost anything in his life, but he lost his airline ticket to go home. And what are the chances of on the same morning as he's leaving Nicky Bacon to lose his wallet with all the goodies in it? And what are the chances of the travel all falling to pieces? And 1:30 in the morning, us out there fighting the fire with Gatorade that Gary Horton had provided. We had no water. It was somewhere in the back of the truck. This fire is raging down below here. Ben goes, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. So he whoops into action, goes find Gatorade and a towel. Pretty soon he's under there with his towel and Gatorade on it. Poof, poof, okay? And what are the chances that it would start again? It's amazing. Amazing. Well, we've taken plenty of time. Thanks again to everybody who helped. PT, kick our butt, will you?